We are currently in the middle of a series that we have simply entitled, The Gospel, Share the Message. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have a message to share. And we've been given the responsibility, but it's more than a responsibility. We've been given the opportunity to share the gospel message, the message that Jesus Christ saves with the people around us. So we've set aside a few weeks just to focus as a church family on how we can be more intentional about sharing the message of the gospel in our everyday lives. And when we began, we gave you two goals for this series, and I want to put them back up on the screen. Here's the first goal that we gave you. We said that we're doing this series to challenge the people of hope to share the gospel with at least one non-believer before the end of 2009. We started 3 weeks ago. We said, we're challenging you before the end of 2009. You still got about 5 or so weeks left, 5 or 6 weeks, but before the end of 2009 to share the gospel with at least one non-believer. Now, I did this last night. It's a little bit risky, but I'm going to do it again this morning, all right? Not to put anybody on the spot, but if you have already, okay, if you've already, since we began this series, had the opportunity to share the gospel, either using a Bible, using your testimony, using a tract, you've already had the opportunity in these 2 weeks to share the gospel with somebody else. Let me see your hand. Just hold it up for just a minute. Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. That is such a joy. Same thing in our service last night. So many people have already shared the gospel in this 2 weeks. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. Okay, now ultimately, we can't save anybody. That's the Lord's work. All we can do is be responsible to share the message. But has anybody had the privilege already of leading someone else to faith in Jesus Christ in the last 2 weeks? Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. Somebody over here, somebody right here, somebody over here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord praise for that. Listen, in our service last night, we had a man sitting right over here, Danny Duffy. Some of you may know Danny. Danny raised his hand, and it reminded me of an email that he had sent me yesterday. Danny, this week, got off an airplane on Tuesday and went to a hospital because his dad was put in the hospital and was not given a very good diagnosis at all. Didn't look like he was going to live very long and was going to have some surgery. So Danny got off an airplane, canceled a meeting, said the message had really spoken to his heart, went straight to the hospital believing his dad probably was going to ignore him, wasn't going to listen to him, wasn't going to pay any attention to him. But he said, man, I knew I needed to share my story with my dad. So he drove to the hospital, went to the hospital room, walked in, sat down, talked to his dad, and right there led his dad to faith in Jesus Christ. Listen. The next morning, Danny's father went home to be with the Lord. Next day, listen what Danny said at the end of the email he sent me. I just thank Jesus that for that minute, I could put my fear to the side. Now I know I will see him again. What an awesome testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. So listen. When we're throwing out this thing of challenging you to share the gospel with at least one person before the end of the year, that's not just a little program that we're running, okay? We've been entrusted with the life-changing message of the gospel, and we have the opportunity to share it with people on a daily basis, and we don't know when that person is going to walk into eternity. We don't know what their life has in store for them, but we do know that we've been entrusted with the gospel. So that was the first goal. I'm so excited for some of you that have already had the opportunity to do that. Let me give you the second goal that we had. The second goal was to equip the people of hope to share the gospel on a regular basis. To equip the people of hope to share the gospel with non-believers on a regular basis. This isn't just something that we're trying to get us to do for the next 6 or 8 weeks. This is something that we as a church family want to be more intentional about for the rest of our lives. What if all 2,000 of us that call Hope home, what if we all got serious and passionate about sharing the gospel for the next 30, 40, 50 years of our lives? Man, think of the hundreds, if not thousands of people that we could personally lead to faith in Jesus Christ over the next 10, 20, 30 years. So we're giving you this series as some resources, some tools. And this weekend, we're also making another resource available at our media kiosk. We've provided a book. We only have about 70 of these, but it's called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Listen, one thing you can't do in heaven is share the gospel with other people. Everybody there is already in, right? We already made it. Now you have that opportunity. And so this is a powerful book written by a man that has some incredible stories and some practical wisdom and insight. I just finished it. It's a great read that will help each of us as we try to be more intentional about sharing our faith. So you can pick those up out there if you're interested in that resource. Why is this so important, Pastor Vance? Why are we making such a big deal about this? Well, the story of Danny Duffy is one reason, right? That's one testimony of why this is such a big deal. But I got several emails and phone messages this week from people that were sharing their story. It was so encouraging to hear those stories of how people are sharing their faith with their friends and relatives. But two of the stories to me really captured the essence of why this is such a big deal. And I wanted to share them with you this morning. Two of the stories really represented why this is so important. Listen, Las Vegas is not going to come to us. We must go to them. And as we live our lives moment by moment on a daily basis, we have the opportunity, listen, don't miss this, to take the gospel to people and places in our city who might never come inside the doors of our church. They might never do that. This week I got a phone message from one family, and the lady in this family has a relative, and this relative is a person of major influence in our city in Las Vegas. Person of major influence in our city. And it's a person that really is not open to the things of God. They would never respond to an invitation to come to a church service. But this young lady said, man, after last weekend, I knew I needed to share my story. So she scheduled an appointment, went to see this relative, sat down with them, shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. A person of major influence in our city that would have never walked in the doors of our church, and yet the gospel went to them. I got another story this week. It was an email. It was sent to me by a young lady that attends our church named Betsy. Listen to what Betsy said. She said, hey, Pastor Vance, you've never met me, but my name is Betsy, and I work with the Strip Church. Now, if you're not familiar with the Strip Church, it's a ministry that has started here in Las Vegas that works downtown, and their target is to reach out to people that have been trapped in the sex industry here in our city. So they go downtown, they go to places that maybe some of us would not find ourselves, and they go with the intent of building relationships with these people and sharing the love of Jesus with them. Listen to what she said. I love being challenged this last Sunday to share my story with someone. Tonight I shared my story and the gospel with one of the girls at one of the brothels that we go to. It was amazing and very powerful. I mean, we're always sharing the love of God with these girls, but it was great to get straight up and share the gospel, to tell her where I came from and how Jesus changed my life. I didn't have my Bible with me, but I got to share with her some verses from these memory verse note cards I had in my purse. The whole time I was hanging out with her, I thought about the sermon from Sunday. So thank you for your inspiration this Sunday and for speaking with passion. Now, do you hear the power in that illustration? Here's what I'm saying. This week, because you shared your story, the gospel penetrated people that are majorly influencing our city. And the gospel penetrated the darkest corners of our city all at the same time. Because you're sharing your story. You see why this is such a big deal? When we begin to live this out, and when we begin to carry the gospel with us, the gospel goes places that it would never, ever go. I can promise you, the two people that I just told you about, and I'm sure there are dozens represented here this morning, they were not planning on attending our services this weekend. And yet they heard the gospel because some people took serious the passion, the calling to share the gospel as they lived out their lives. Well, let me show you a verse on the screen. We've looked at it every weekend. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look what it says. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my, what's the next word? Witnesses. Now, you need to know the context of this verse. This little paragraph that you're reading here is the last words that ever came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ on the earth. Last thing he said to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven, you will be my witnesses. What's a witness? Well, I gave you a definition last week. I want to put it back up on the screen. I want you to read it out loud with me. All right, here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Witnessing is simply sharing the story of what God is doing in your life with other people. That's witnessing. Witnessing is sharing the story of what God is doing in your life with other people. Every one of us have been called to be a witness. And last weekend, we talked about being a witness using our story, our personal testimony, how we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we were able to use our story. But this weekend, we want to talk about another aspect of how we share our story. Another way that we share the gospel is through our lives. I want to put a big idea on the screen, and this is really the big idea I want you to wrap your heart around this weekend, okay? Here's the thought I want you to get today. The life I live is a platform to share the gospel with others. The life I live is a platform to share the gospel with others. I want you to read it with me off the screen. You ready? Here we go. The life I live is a platform to share the gospel with others. I want you to let that sink in for a second. It's a true statement, but it raises a serious question. What kind of platform? You see, the life I live is a platform to share the gospel with others, but the question that it raises is, what kind of platform is it? Is the life that I live a good platform? Is it a solid platform? Or is the life I live not a good platform? Jesus didn't say you might be witnesses. He said you will be. Now, whether it's good or bad is a different story, right? But everyone who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ with their lifestyle, we are a witness of some sort, some type. Paul is writing about this very issue in the book of Colossians. If you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to spend our time this morning. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 5. Two little verses. Paul writes a paragraph to this young pastor, or to this young church there in Colossae, and he's describing to them this principle of our lifestyle, our lives being a witness. Listen to what he says. Colossians 4, verse 5. If you don't have a Bible, the verses are on the screen. He says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, what I want to do out of those two verses is I want to give you three key words. And with these three key words, I hope that when you leave, you'll remember these three words. Because I think if we'll remember these three words, it can change the way we live our lives on a daily basis in this arena of sharing our faith. Here's the first word. You ready? Live. Live. Paul says that we are to conduct ourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. The word conduct here is a word that simply in the Greek language is a compound word that literally means to walk about or to walk around. And the way that it's most often used in the New Testament is in a figurative way, which literally means to live one's life, the way we walk about every day, the way we live our lives. Paul here is describing our lifestyle. And he says that our lifestyle should be filled with wisdom. He says to conduct yourself with wisdom. What does that mean, to conduct ourselves with wisdom? Well, wisdom in this particular context is the ability to understand principles from Scripture and apply these principles to my everyday life. Paul here is describing the way that we're to live our lives, and he's saying that as Christians, our lives should be different from that of those in the world, those that are outsiders, Paul says. Our lives should be filled with wisdom, meaning that as we're growing in our relationship with God, as we're pursuing to know God, we've talked about that here at Hope, that the ultimate pursuit of our lives is to know God. And one of the ways we do that is by digging into God's Word. And as we begin to know God through His Word, God's changing us on the inside, changing our desires, changing our behaviors. And as we seek to know God in His Word, our desire becomes to bring my life into conformity with what God says in His Word, and it's a transformation on the inside that spills out on the outside, so that what comes out of me is literally the life of Christ in me. And Paul is reminding us here that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're to live our lives in pursuit of the principles of God's Word being manifested in our lives. But then he adds that phrase, toward outsiders. Who are these outsiders that he's talking about? Well, these outsiders, that was a term that was used in Paul's day to refer to those outside of the Christian community. Those that hadn't come to faith in Jesus Christ yet. So here's what Paul's saying. Paul is encouraging us that the lives we live should so reflect God's character that they become a witness in themselves and open the door to conversations about the gospel. That's what Paul's saying when he says, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. He's saying, man, that our lives that we're living should so reflect in our moment-by-moment lifestyle the very character of God, that our lifestyle attracts people to the person of Jesus Christ, and it becomes a very platform to have conversations and discussions about the gospel. Let me show it to you in another place in the Bible. Turn over in your Bible, if you have it open, just a few pages to the right, to the book of Titus, chapter 2. In Titus, chapter 2, Paul is writing here to a young man in ministry, and he's teaching him about what the Christian life looks like as it's fleshed out in community. And as I read this paragraph, you'll hear Paul's addressing all the different aspects, older men and older women, younger women. He begins to address the issue of bond slaves and masters. And Paul is describing the impact of the gospel in people's lives. And he's saying, here's what it looks like when you begin to live out the gospel. Listen to what he says in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will not be put or will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about it. See what he's doing? He's describing the impact of the gospel. As we begin to live out our lives, our lifestyles become different of the lifestyles of those in the world. Verse 9, he continues by talking about bond slaves, bond servants. He says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Now, after writing about all these different lifestyle changes that the gospel takes in people's life, Paul closes verse 10 with a powerful statement. Look what he says next. So that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. J.B. Phillips has a powerful translation of the New Testament. Listen to the way he translates that last phrase. So that their lives will be a living testimonial to the teaching of God, our Savior. You hear what Paul is saying here? Paul says, man, when the gospel changes our lives, as we live our lives moment by moment, the very lives we live, we're wearing the gospel. We're literally wearing the gospel of Jesus Christ on our lives. And as people see the lives that we live, they see the difference that Jesus makes in our home and in our family and in the way we conduct ourselves at work. Our lives become a living testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it creates a platform to discuss and have conversations about the gospel. You see, as followers of Jesus, listen, there should be a difference in the way we love our spouse. There should be a difference in the way we spend time with our children. There should be a difference in the way we work at our job. There should be a difference in the way we honor our employer or our employees. There should be a difference in the way we handle our finances. There should be a difference in the way we apply ourselves at school. There should be a difference in the way we hang out with our friends on the weekend. There should be a difference in the way we treat a server in a restaurant. Our lives should wear the gospel. Robert Lewis, in his powerful book, The Church of Irresistible Influence, sums up this point to me in a great way. I want you to look at this quote on the screen. Listen carefully. The world is tired of the church impersonally talking it down and chewing it up. What the world waits to see is whether what we have is better than what they have. Just think what bridges we could build if we truly followed the example of the New Testament church. We would go beyond being seeker sensitive to a new frontier of being community admired. We would be known not just by the corner we inhabit, but by the city with which we interact. And listen to this. And people would be drawn to God, not because of the weekly show in our churches, but by the irrefutable lives we incarnate. Paul says, live. You know what that brings us back to? If you and I are going to share the message of the gospel, you know where it starts? Pursuing God. My intimate, daily pursuit of the person of Jesus Christ in my life. And then sharing the gospel becomes the overflow of my intimate fellowship with God. Second word. Look. Look. Live. Look. Look at the end of verse 5 in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Making the most of the opportunity. That little phrase, making the most, literally means to buy up at the market everything that can be bought. What Paul is saying here is he's encouraging you and I that as we live our lives, we are to be on the lookout not to miss a single opportunity to demonstrate the love of Jesus to people around us. Yes, I'm to live the gospel. My life is to be a reflection of the difference Jesus makes in a family, in a home, in a person. But as I live my life, I'm to live my life on the lookout for opportunities to demonstrate the love of Jesus to others. I want to put a life-changing reality up on the screen. Look what it says. Every moment in my life is an opportunity for God to share his story through my life. Think about that. Every moment in your life. You know what that does? It gives every moment significance. It gives every moment meaning. It gives every moment purpose and value. Because every moment of my life becomes an opportunity for God to share his story through my life. This phrase, making the most of the opportunity, it implies intentionality. Listen, as a Christian, yes, I'm to live my life, and my life is to be a testimony to the glory and the grace of God. But as I live my life, I'm also to be intentional about looking for opportunities to demonstrate the gospel to people around me. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 16 on the screen. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your," what does it say? "Good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." That little phrase, "good works," literally could be translated benevolent acts of service. Jesus says, yes, we're to live our lives, and our lives are to be a testimony to the grace of God and the difference Jesus can make in my life. But I'm also to live with a sense of intentionality, looking for ways to serve people, looking for ways to demonstrate kindness towards others so that in my act of service, they may see the person of Christ in and through my life. William Barclay said it this way. Put another quote up on the screen. Look what William Barclay said. I love this first phrase. The Christian must of necessity be a, what does it say? Missionary. Did you know that you're a missionary? The Christian must of necessity be a missionary. It is not by his words, but by his life that he will attract people to or repel them from Christianity. On the Christian, there is laid the great responsibility, not of simply talking about Christ, but of showing men Christ, not just in words, but in life. Did you hear what Barclay said? We're missionaries. Hey, a few moments ago, we prayed and we commissioned a mission team to go to Africa. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Well, guess what? You've all been commissioned. Every one of us are missionaries. Let me ask you a question. What does a missionary do? If we send a missionary to go to China, does a missionary go to China and buy them a nice pulpit and set it up in the town square and begin to preach the gospel in China? Is that how we go and begin to share the gospel in China? No, that's not how we do that, is it? What does a missionary do when they go to China? When we send a missionary family to China, let me tell you what they do. They look for a way in the culture to begin to serve people. Sometimes missionaries go as doctors. Sometimes missionaries go as school teachers. Sometimes missionaries go as college professors. Sometimes missionaries go as small business owners. And they go into these countries and into these cultures, and they try to find out the needs of the community, and they begin through serving others to meet those needs in community. And let me tell you what happens when we do that. When we begin to serve and meet those needs in community, the overflow of that is it creates a platform upon which we can have conversations around the gospel. Now listen, we don't go to serve people because we have an ulterior motive. We serve people because they need to be served, but we do have an ultimate motive. And our ultimate motive is glory and honor to God. And that happens when people come to know him. So we go and we serve and we meet needs. And here's what Paul is saying, as you and I are living our lives, our lives are a testimony, but we're also to look to be intentional, to find ways that we can serve our neighbors, to find ways that we can serve our coworkers, to find ways that we can serve our family. And in serving them, in taking that intentional step of serving other people, it creates a platform that opens the door to share Christ with the people around you. Now, maybe you say this morning, how do I do this? How do I start? Well, when you leave today, on all the kiosks outside, you're going to find these yellow sheets. All right, we got enough for probably about one per family. But here's what it says at the top. Opportunities to look for tip sheet. All right? We're just giving you a starter kit, if you will. Just some ways that you can begin. Let me give you a couple of examples of what's on here. Bring a welcome basket to a new neighbor. Somebody moves in on your street, Man, you take the time to put something together from your family and you go give it to them. Just serve them. It'll open the door to conversation. It'll build a relationship. And let me tell you something. The gospel runs on the rails of relationships. And as you and I are intentional, here's another one. Offer a cold drink on a hot day to the trash pickup crew that comes to your home. You know what that'll do? It'll begin to cultivate a relationship with them. They don't see that everywhere. And you know what they'll do? One day they say, why do you do this? It'll open the door to build a relationship so that you can share Christ. Pay for someone's meal behind you in the drive-through lane. Leave a card with the attendant when the person pulls up to get their food and they tell them it's already been paid and here's the person who did it. Leave a little invite card to church or leave a little gospel tract or just something that says, man, God loves you. You know, those are just ways to begin to serve people. And as we serve people, as we're looking for those opportunities, listen, there's a whole bunch on this sheet. This is just a start. You got millions of ways you can come up with. Pick one of these up. Look. Number three. Speak. Live. Look. Speak. Paul says, after he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Then in verse 6, he says, let your speech be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. You see, it's not simply that we're just to live out the gospel and serve others. We are to do that. But we're also to speak the gospel. And as Christians, we have to be very careful. Christians tend to get out of balance in one of two directions. Either we're all over here about speaking the gospel. We got our bullhorn, and man, we're out on the streets with our signs, and we're speaking the gospel. But they don't know we care because we're not serving and we're not living. Or we get over here on the other side and we're all about good works and humanitarian relief and we never speak the gospel. Listen, people can have food in their stomach and a roof over their head, but if they're still lost, their greatest need has not been met. But when we live with this balance of living and looking and speaking the gospel, speaking, sharing our story, telling others about the life-changing message of Jesus, then we're fulfilling what Christ has called us to. Listen, 95% of our city is lost. 95%. You know what that means? 9 out of 10 people that you come into contact with do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. 9 out of 10 people in Las Vegas, if they die tomorrow, will walk into a Christless eternity. How are they supposed to hear? Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Look at it on the screen and we'll wrap up with this verse. This is in the New Living Translation. Look at it. How can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? How can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? How's Las Vegas supposed to hear the gospel? I'm looking at it. You're a missionary. You've been entrusted with the message. Go share the gospel. Live. Look. Speak. Let's pray. As you bow your head there this morning before the Lord, I want to ask you a few questions. Before I pray this morning, I want you to really think about what God said to us this morning through His Word and bring some application into your life. Here's the first question I want you to answer. Is my life a living testimony of the difference Jesus makes? Is my home different? Is the way I work different? Is the way I am at school different? My life is a platform. What kind of platform is it? Second question. Am I looking for opportunities every day to serve others and share the message with them? Am I looking for opportunities every day to serve others and share the gospel with them? Am I making the most of the opportunity? Listen, your life is an opportunity that God's given you. Are you making the most of it? Number three, am I speaking the gospel to others in the opportunities God brings into my life? Am I with humility and boldness speaking the gospel? Are you sharing your story with others? In just a moment, our praise team is going to lead us in a song of worship. Before that, I'm going to say a word of prayer in just a second. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to have some of our pastors and prayer volunteers. Some will be at the back. Some are going to be up here at the front. And if God's spoken to your life today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when we stand to sing, you simply slip out of your seat. Come to one of these at the front, one of these at the back. Say to them, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ today. It's my personal Lord and Savior. And they'll show you from the Bible how you can do that. Or if you just need to pray with someone, that's why they're here at the front or at the back. You go to one of them today. For the rest of us, when we stand to sing in just a moment, it's an opportunity for us to really think about what we've heard today and how we are doing with the gospel. Lord, speak to our hearts. God, change our lives. And Lord, may we never be the same again. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.